Hey, greetings. It is that traveling, nomadic, husband and wife, gospel preaching team coming to you from the No Parish Gospel Van.
In a parking lot.
I'm Brother Two Post.
Sister Amen.
We're here with you once again. That was kind of an interesting invite.
Introduction.
We invite you to listen.
Right. And so, are we in a big city?
We are in a big city.
Yeah, it's big. 220 some thousand.
Yeah, that's
people.
Big
Not
for
our
us.
Favorite.
That's big for us. A lot of traffic, a lot of people, a lot of everything that comes with a big city, but the gospel's going out.
Right. And I was thinking about, you know, it's one thing, like if you live in the city, maybe you don't really appreciate it or whatever, but you're used to it. You're kind of going around. You know,
you're almost oblivious to it.
Yeah, you know all the roads. You've got it familiar. Yeah. When we pop into a city out of nowhere, it's like, you know, because you're going through the country and we're small country.
It's all foreign to us.
Yeah, and it's like
one-way streets and construction and people driving like crazy.
Right, trying to find our way. Yeah, we just had somebody come right behind us and cut us.
Almost cut us off.
It's like,
it's a different life.
Yeah, you and I have been in big cities for many years of our life. And
we used to do business in million people cities and everything all the time.
Yeah.
Flying all over the place, but now we just fly down the road in our gospel van. But it's interesting all the different reactions we get. People blaring the horn when they drive by. Some of them cutting us off. Some of them flipping us off. So
some waving.
Yeah.
So whatever. We just go wherever it is for the Lord. We'll do anything.
Amen. Amen. We're coming to you. We hope you're having a great day. We did have a good day. We traveled. We got to this busy big town. So thank you, Father, for giving us safe travel. I think Sister Amen made a pretty nice travel video that's up at the top of the audio edification page, so check that out.
Yep, just remember, if you don't see it today, it's going to be gone tomorrow.
Yep, check it out. Make sure you check it today, and then, it'll be gone tomorrow. We change it every day.
Yep.
We're handing the gospel out as we go, and I think Sister Amen's got a story about that.
Oh, actually, I got two. I'm going to pick two.
Go for it.
So this morning right away, I went in the store to get something, and I was real happy to find it because not every place carries it. But I didn't get a chance to witness or even give out a gospel card, and I was checking out, and I was disappointed. And I thought, well, Lord, I was willing. And right then, there was nobody else in the self-checkout area. Right then, a Walmart worker comes walking right by me, and she goes, how you doing today? Did you find everything you were looking for? And I was like,
set up.
Lord, you are so wonderful.
That's a door opener.
I know. So she got the gospel, and we headed down the road a little ways and did another stop, a Titus 2 stop, because I wanted to go check a really good sale I saw at a store. And on the way there, we stopped to get some gas, and Brother Two Post is awesome about keeping our ice filled in the cooler and water. He gets it all at the gas station.
I try.
Yeah. Yeah, you get gas and they give you complimentary water and ice. So he goes in there to do it.
And the gospel always goes out when I do it.
Oh, yeah, of course. And all of a sudden, he scared me. He came walking out quicker than he normally does. I was getting things ready for the ice and stuff. And he had two little plates of food. And he said that he was going to just take one and share it. But the lady said that he could bring one out for me.
Yep, she said you should take one for your wife, too.
Yeah, and so it was like just one of those little tiny sample places.
Chicken pasta was good.
Yeah, it was a nice little lunch. And I said, here, I got a gospel card out, and I said, would you give this to her and thank her? And I was thinking about this verse here, you know, Luke 17 and 18. And Jesus, this is about the 10 lepers that Jesus healed.
Yeah, the 10 lepers, yeah.
And Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And just thinking about, you know, how many people actually would go back and
she was surprised.
Give a gospel card and a thank you for something like
that. I said,
that.
We're thankful. My wife wanted me to give you this. This is what we do in travel. And she's like, oh, you're welcome. She's probably figuring, this is my job. Nobody thanks me. So
yeah,
that was pretty awesome.
You know what it kind of reminded me of? That one time when you were really busy and you went and grabbed some eggs for me when you were doing the ice and the water and you had that woman help you.
Yep.
And I walked back. We went to the park down the road, and I walked back and gave her a gospel card.
Yeah, I had the lady worker help me pick out some eggs because I wasn't sure exactly which ones I wanted and how to do it, and she helped me. She also was telling me how to boil them and stuff, so it was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, she helped Brother Two Post out, and then he had his hands full and everything, and then I walked back down the road, a few blocks to go back and give her a gospel card and had a little nice conversation with
her.
Yeah,
so that was awesome. All these interpersonal things that we get to come across. I was in a home goods store today. We had to go in there and with Sister Emma's with me, and it was perfect timing. I walk around the corner, and there's an Amish man standing there. Mm-hmm. Older man, my age. And it was awesome. He had his cart filled with water, a bunch of bottled water. And you know what? I've been doing this for many years with Anabaptist, Amish, Mennonite, German Baptist. This was, without a doubt, the best experience I ever had with an Anabaptist man, Amish man. This man stood. We talked for 20 minutes. I have an audio. I'll be putting it up probably tomorrow. He listened. He kind of tried to make a little excuse for the man-made traditions, but when I corrected him with the Word of God, he shook his head, and I told him about some of the, we went over the gospel, we went over some of their false traditions, we went over their hypocrisies, and he kind of said, yeah, I see what you're saying. And I think I left him with a whole bunch of things he's got to question. And I told him, I said, here's two godly people that would love to be united to a whole bunch of other people. I said, but we could never unite to you. And his name was Jake. I said, Jake, help me. How can that be? I said, we can't unite you because of your false man-made traditions. And he just kind of shook his head. I said, I hope you ponder that, Jake. And I said, we love you. Call me sometime. I'd love to talk to you. And he said, okay, thanks a lot. And he left. It was peaceable. He listened. It was probably the best. It was the best Amish witnessing I ever had. Sister Amma got to stand there and listen. And was it as good as I think it was?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you know what I noticed about him was he didn't have that stance.
He was very relaxed.
His ankles crossed, you know, and kind of leaning on the cart a little bit. You know, yeah, he had like a pretty relaxed nature. And, you know, those, they pay their drivers by the hour or maybe mile two or whatever to do it.
Right.
And he just stood there talking.
His driver walked by and he kept talking. That's a great point. A lot of the Amish, when I talk to them, or the Mennonites, they like stamp their foot and like they want to talk for a minute or two and okay, I got to get going. They don't want to talk truth. This guy stood for 20 minutes talking to me and you'll hear it. It's a back and forth conversation. And I gave him some hard truth. He took it well. And I really hope that he prays about it, because I told him, I said, you'll have to lose your life and come out of the Amish to truly follow Jesus. And he said, well, I guess I'll have to think about that, he said. And so it was awesome. I was praising God that I got to meet him. Perfect timing in this in another town where we need, or actually it's in the town where we are now. And so, yeah, we'll put the audio up and you'll get to hear that. So that's pretty awesome.
That was a blessing.
Do you have another? Did you say you had two witnessing? Oh, you did share both of them.
I did. Well, I had another one.
Yeah,
well,
go ahead.
We always have a handful of them in the days or whatever. But
yeah, go share another one.
Where were we? Was that where you were and I walked over to the thrift store?
Yep.
Yeah, I saw a thrift store and I said I was just going to walk over and he was going to drive over and meet me. He was texting or something. And I go in the thrift store and I didn't find anything. But I walked around the corner and there was one of the lady workers there. And I looked at her. I said, how you doing today? And she looked at me like, sometimes, you know, they probably hear it all the time.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there, I just stood there and smiled at her until she answered, and then she asked me, and I answered, and I told her they do a really good job in the store, which they do. And her and I talked just like maybe 30 seconds. I gave her a gospel card, gave her the warning about man-made religion and not believing the lies that are being taught out there.
Yeah.
And she thanked me.
Yeah.
And then I turned around the corner, and Brother Tupos had come in. So.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Just
was
these
like
encounters
perfect.
Where we're open to it, and God just kind of opens doors, and we get to touch people's lives, give them the gospel. And most times we'll probably never know what effect it'll have on eternity, but we're just doing it to glorify God, and he's got us out here working, so we love to shine our light no matter how we can.
Yeah, maybe so.
One-on-one, preaching, whatever.
Yeah, sometimes as we share them with you, it might give you an idea.
Yeah.
You know, what you can do, or look for door openers.
Yeah, I pulled up today, another one. I pulled up today at a gas station, had gospel signs all over our van. And I noticed this man, he looked like maybe a dark-skinned Arab man, walking by, and he looked at me real kind of sheepish-like, and he looked at me and he said, bless you, sir. And I barely heard him, and he kept walking. And I thought, okay, if he wanted to talk, he'd come over. He didn't. Well, as I'm walking in, he's walking out. And he looked at me and he looked down like he was like bashful or like real quiet, real, you know, reserved and humble. And he looked at me and he looked up and he said, bless you, sir. Bless you for what you do. And I said, sir, can I talk to you? And he stopped. I gave him a gospel card. I said, I want to share with you the gospel to eternal life. He took it, And he was like, really thankful for it? He goes, oh, thank you. I said, it's what I do. I travel. I said, don't leave this life without Christ, not religion, not the culture. I said, look at the gospel on there. Let me know how I can help you, okay? And he looked at it and he said, thank you. Thank you very much. He was like, really, I could tell he was reverencing. He had reverence for people of God. He had reverence for the things of God. He was very humble and meek. It was almost like I thought about in Peter where they like fell at Peter's feet. And he's like, get up. I'm just a man. This man was yeah. like... be trying to give me like this great honor. And I was like, I just want to give you the gospel, sir. And he's like, thank you. Thank you. And he walked away. And it made me think about how people like that are humble and meek and maybe have a lot of reverence for God. It's such a opposite of the arrogance American churchgoers that trample the blood of God, say they're going to heaven no matter what they do. And here's this man, I don't know what's in his heart, but you could tell he had a reverence for people that he saw that might be holy doing God's work. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty heartwarming to me, and I'm glad I got to witness to him.
That's awesome. Maybe seeds will go in.
Yeah.
If he has that kind of reverence, yeah. he probably read the card. So
oh, yeah.
at least he got the right truth on that one.
Yeah, and I got a scripture verse for that. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
Yeah.
So you can see this man had a reverence and a fear for God, and he was, I think, in his own way, he was like honoring workers of God, and I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
I'm glad God had your paths crossed.
Yeah, yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. And then, so we were in a food store. Sister Amin, the store, she wanted to go in and check some sales. And this store happens to have like a really nice, fancy area in it as well, as well as a sales area. And I couldn't, in fact, you probably put everything up already. I don't think I gave you my picture for it. I was hoping to put that up there. We'll see if I can get it up there. I saw this case with meat in it.
Maybe we'll do that tomorrow.
Maybe we'll do it tomorrow. I saw this case with meat in it, and they had like four levels. At the bottom, it said, ready in 4 weeks. The next level, it said, ready in 3 weeks. The next level, it said, ready in 2 weeks. And the top one, it said, ready now. And I'm looking at it, and it's air-dried, some kind of special beef. And I looked at it, and I thought, what is that? Air-dried beef. It looked really kind of fancy, cool in the case.
They got fancy stuff in that
yep,
place.
Oh, yeah. The worker guy was there. I said, sir, I said, can I ask you a question? I said, how much is that? He goes, it all depends. You buy it by the pound. I said, how much is it? He goes, $34 a pound. And I said, oh, thank you. To me, $5 a pound is a lot of money.
$350 a pound is a lot.
$34 a pound. So I started thinking about it, and the brothers and I, well, I did a teaching. We'll talk about that. I did a teaching on effeminate must be exposed, or effeminate ways must go. And in one of the verses I preached, it was Luke 7:25. But what went ye out, Jesus said, to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in the king's courts. And I think there's also some scripture verses about the king's dainties. And I was thinking about this food and how America is so ensconced, if I could use that word, in every type of dainty food, buffet meals, smorgasbord, anything to tickle your flesh.
Organic. I mean, they pay high price for that.
Organic, European, Chinese, Mexican, yeah. low calorie, no carb, high carb.
I saw alligator nuggets in there. What? We're in Minnesota. Where's the alligator?
Alligator nuggets. And so it just made me think about, and Proverbs 23:3, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Mm-hmm. So it talks about how the kings are always puffing themselves up and eating all this fancy stuff and living a soft life. And it kind of goes against, it makes you a soft person versus killing your flesh, living simple, living frugal, not indulging yourself. And that's what my teaching was all about, being not effeminate and soft, but being a godly man or a godly woman guided by his word, his truth, and his ways, not the feeding of our flesh. So you can't, in America here, and I have a brother in Canada. We have saints in Australia. Yeah, we know it's all over the world, the Western world. They're so spoiled rotten. And we talked about it today with the brothers. Sodom. Sodom was not destroyed just for sodomy and lesbianism. Sodom was destroyed also for fullness of bread, idleness, and pride.
Mm-hmm.
That's America. That's American lifestyle.
Otis, the money that people dump on food. Yeah. I can't, and it's not all just junk food. It's like the high-end stuff now.
Yep. Yep.
Like we're talking about the foodies. They spend so much money on their organics.
Oh, I know.
And the food bills are just incredible. You and I live off such a small, minimal amount. And
simple,
we don't eat junk.
Frugal, minimal.
We refuse to spend a lot of money on food
because it's crazy.
It's just such a waste.
It's crazy, yeah. I remember when before I was a believer, we'd go to buffets and stuff, and you'd sit there and eat 2 and 3 plates of food because you paid money. You're going to eat it all. We would eat two. I would, not Sister Amen. I'd eat 2 or 3 plates of food. And I'd walk out of there, like, put me in a wheelbarrow and roll me out of there. And it's just, like, massive gluttony and...
And people continuously do that.
Overindulgence. Yeah. And we see it in America. We see a lot of obese people, fat people. People that are extra obese.
Yeah.
Men that look like they're pregnant. Women way, way overweight. And that is... Gluttony is a sin. And you can be a glutton and be skinny. I get it. You just have a big appetite. But it just made me think about the King's Dainties and all of the things that people do. And I'm glad that God called us out of that. We're no better than them. We could probably indulge our flesh just as quick and easy as everybody else.
Right.
But God calls us out to use his resources different, to have a better focus in life, and to kill our flesh. We don't let our flesh rule in our lives, and that's what all that stuff does. So, I mentioned that we, the brothers and I gathered, and I did a teaching on effeminate ways must die. I have feminization and effeminate ways in the culture today is a cancer. We talked about that. It's one of the worst cancers in the culture. Would you agree, Sister Amen, from a Titus 2 standpoint?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. So, we covered that really good. I did a teaching, and then the brothers and I talked about it. So it's up on the post that we do every day, and it's in the Ecclesia Gathering area, so you can go and check that out, and you'll be greatly edified by that. We also did another roundtable talk where we talked about kind of the Tower of Babel ways being revived and the last days and how the world seems to be coming undone, unhinged, and everything's turning from the way God would have it, turning to Satan's ways, and the world's getting darker, and we're headed into the tribulation and the Antichrist type way. So you can listen to that one as well. Sister Amen, do you have anything else to share with us today?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to add to what we were talking about. I guess the King's Dainties with all the food and everything, indulging the flesh, and then the effeminate can kind of, you can kind of bounce them off each other, you know, with all these modern conveniences, all the lust of the flesh and fulfilling it makes people soft and weak. And I was just thinking about...
Can I just say this real quick?
Yeah,
it makes them soft. And we were talking about when I was a kid, we used to raise our own food. We did gardens. We had to clean up after the animals. We had chores. We had to work on buildings. We had to do all kinds of stuff. We didn't have time for a bunch of entertainment. Riding our bikes was our entertainment.
Right.
My dad would say, you're done. Go ride your bike for an hour. That was our entertainment and maybe a little bit of TV on Saturday, but it wasn't a lot. Today, everybody's got microwaves, convenience, buy this food, deliver the food to my house, fast food, Uber drive, all this food stuff, and they got more time to sit and fill their brains up with cancerous porn, sports, politics, violent movies, video games, and that's Satan's plan, is to take you from what God wants you to do, working and laboring with your hands, to being swept away by his evil kingdom. So I just wanted to say that.
You just said everything I was going to say.
What do you mean?
You just went right where I was going to say.
Oh.
I was going to talk about all the modern conveniences and how...
Well, talked about it from a Titus 2 sister's standpoint.
Oh, I didn't have that. I was just kind of
Think about it from a Titus 2 sister standpoint. What could be the danger having so many conveniences? What do you end up in your life?
Lazy and idle and soft and... If you look at the Proverbs 31 woman, she wasn't a weak woman.
No.
She's a strong woman. I know it says in the Bible that women are the weaker vessel, but that's only in comparison to a man.
Yeah, strength.
That's not saying a woman is weak.
Right.
So women are to, if a woman was made as a helpmeet to her husband, she better keep up with him for the most part in the way she can. So she's a, women are to be strong workers too.
Yep.
But when you take away all those... all that hard work that you're supposed to do, and you have all the modern conveniences, it can make people, it can make women weak too.
Yeah.
You know?
Gives people too much time for idleness.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. That's what I was kind of thinking about. Tomorrow we're going to travel again, head down the road, good Lord willing, right?
Right.
And we're going to tell us good news on the way. And we're thankful that we have brothers and sisters all around the world to share with, to be edified by, and we get to edify them. And we're always on the hunt looking for more sheep that would like to follow after Christ, and we're always there to edify them. That's why we do everything we do, and there's lots of edification going out all over, isn't there, Sister Amen?
Right, amen, there is.
Yeah. And so, anything else, Sister Amen? I have one scripture, no, two, I have two scripture verses left.
I was going to say, on our travel, we stopped at a gas station, and Brother Tupos pointed this out. They have this, it's a really nice newer gas station.
Like a truck stop.
Yep. And it had this really nice, it looked like it was brand new, fence with benches in there. And on it was, it said, welcome to our dog park or something like that.
Well, I think it said, welcome to our dog friends.
Oh, whatever it said. Yeah, I don't remember. But it was really nice set up. And then we look around and we didn't see a park or a playground or benches or nothing outside of there for anybody, any families to sit on or children nothing. To sit on. Nothing. No shade, no nothing. But they had this really nice thing set up for pets.
Yeah, they had a big enough area. They could have divided it off and had a nice little playground for little kids that get all rambunctious when you're traveling. Let them go in there. Let them run around a little bit. Let them burn off some energy. And then there still would have been area for pets. But they just forget the children completely and they honor pets.
Yep. Then I was thinking about Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever.
We just talked about that today with the brothers. Yeah. Yeah, pretty sad. We see the paganism of this culture and people lifting up pets and animals above their own children and their own family members. It quite honestly, it's disgusting is what it is. It's demonic and disgusting.
Yeah, it is. And if you want to talk about effeminate, one of the things that, okay, I'm a godly woman and I'm a strong woman and I'll go out and I'll do all kinds, you know, I'll go stand on the streets and I'm not fearful or nothing. And I try not to be critical or anything, but what really, is it okay to say it kind of disgusts me when I see a man walking by.
Yeah, it's kind of a righteous anger.
A man walking by with a dog in a baby carrier strapped to his chest.
Oh, yeah.
That, tell me that's not effeminate.
That, yeah. That he's spending his time and energy on an animal that's going to live 7, 8, 9 years.
Pet and pours all paganism. Paganism,
yeah.
I mean, it's the whole thing we're talking about here, kind of.
Yeah, and what it is, and what really gets us, and it kind of goes in with the effeminate, God created man to take dominion, demand for man to be strong, to be bold, to be a worker, and you see the men being bent towards the softness and the feminism. It's okay to be soft as a man with your children, soft with your wife, I get it. But the softness in all the wrong places. They're soft on food. They're soft towards animals. They're soft on the gospel. They're soft on the culture, and they do all the soft thing. So there's a place for gentle softness. I get that. But they've taken it way to the wrong place. And
right.
Yeah, it is. There's no doubt about it. It is. It's what it is. Maybe a better word than disgusting. It's profane.
Ooh, that's even harder.
Yeah, it's profane. Goes against everything of a father. So.
And if you're talking about soft men, I don't know, I grew up 55 years old, and you are who you are because of how you, way back when men actually did things. Women did too.
Yeah.
I knew how to do oil changes and tune-ups on the car and stuff. So it boggles my mind to think that men don't even know how to do that today, because you could just hire it out all over. It's like... It's really strange to me.
Yeah.
We've seen like such a culture change in our half a century, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dumbed down. Well, go listen to my teaching that I put up today. God created Adam before even sin came into the world. And I mentioned to brothers, everybody's got a wrong idea. They think God created Adam and Adam was sitting on a bed of roses and he had to do nothing but just sit around and lounge. That's not what it says. It says he created Adam and he put him in charge of the garden to work and labor and toil over it. That's what it says. Before sin. So Adam was a farmer. And I told people, I told brothers, I grew up with farmers. They're hard men. They're hard workers. They're rugged. They get things done. They can survive. That's what Adam was. He wasn't a soft guy carrying a poodle around in a chest holder.
Oh, I know. Or pushing it in a cart.
Yeah. So... Go listen to that teaching. I think that'll really bless you. Last thought I had, I wanted to talk about Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I wanted you to notice something. I read this today with the brothers and it really caught me. Notice how the forbidden fruit, she didn't just eat it. It was pleasant to the eyes. And she desired to be wise. What does that tell us? Two things about her. Nothing new is under the sun. Ready? It was lust of the eyes and flesh, and it was the pride of life. 1 John 2:16. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, she looked at it and said, it looks great. And the pride of this life, she knew better than God. That's pride. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. Satan, the father of lies, brought her those lies. Did God really say that? She bought the poison pill and went for it. And so, yeah, I was just thinking about that. Nothing new under the sun. Mm-mm. So we saints need to flee from those ways. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of this life. That's why we lived a strip. We live a stripped down, set apart, not of the world, holy, godly, simple life in Christ. And it protects us. It insulates us from living after the lust of the eyes, pride of life, and the flesh. We don't let Satan and his kingdom steer us. We let the Word of God and the Spirit steer us.
Right, and if the Word dwells in us richly, then it means our heart's going to be filled with that, and it's going to have a whole lot less room for the lust that is birthed from within.
Amen. And are we not seeing that with some young saints that are learning how to put the flesh away and put the Spirit and the Word right in there and focus on that, and they're seeing how their walks are being grown, and their love of God is being magnified, and their desire to be around the brethren is being magnified, because the flesh is the enemy against the things of God. And if you let it stay, it's going to hold you down, choke you out. But when I see this, when men and women put it away, they rise right up like a tender shoot being watered with sun.
Right. Yeah, because if you baby the flesh, sisters, it's just gonna stumble you. You need to smash it down and kick it out of there.
Crucify
and get going. Yeah, you gotta slice it.
Don't give any occasion for it.
Sacrifice it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and set your eyes on things above. So I think that's about all we got. Anything else, Sister Amin?
I didn't get to read my verse yet.
You gotta read your scripture verse.
Yeah, and this is gonna make a sister smile.
It is?
Well, it's gonna make all my sisters smile, but I know one will.
Really?
Yep, Psalm 27:8. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek.
Oh, I like that. Seeking the face of God.
Yeah, I love that too.
That is awesome.
Yeah, praise
awesome.
God.
All right, we're out of here. That is all we got for tonight. We hope that all you saints, brothers and sisters, strive on. And remember, we're seeking an eternal city to come. We have no eternal city right now.
Right.
We are waiting for that eternal city to come. And that's one of my great hopes and great promises of the Word of God. I can't wait to see and be part of, if I endure, part of that eternal city. If God lets me be the janitor there, that's all I want. Just let me in that glorious city.
Right. Don't get comfortable here, because this ain't our life. This
Amen.
We're just strangers and pilgrims passing through.
Amen.
Love you, sisters.
Good word, Sister Amin. Love and peace to all of you in Christ. We're here for you. Till next time, God bless you come to us again, or let us come to you. You can come to us, but we came to you
right.
from our gospel van, from our gospel studio.
Right.
Sister's in the passenger seat. I'm in the driver's seat, and we're talking on our phone.
In a parking lot in a great big humongous city.
In a big city in a parking lot, but the gospel's going to go out.
Right.
Praise all right, God. We love you all. God be praised.